Good morning. Today we continue our series of meditations from John's Gospel. This morning our focus is on John chapter 6, verses 66 to 71. This is how it reads. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Verse 66 tells us of a turning point in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in chapter 6, Jesus had fed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then Jesus went up into a mountain to pray and to be away from the crowd. The crowd that were fed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes went looking for Jesus to get more food. From that time till now, we have had people who are into Jesus only for what they can get out of Jesus. When the crowd eventually found Jesus, he taught them the scriptures. Jesus told them things they did not want to hear. Jesus taught them that they could not earn salvation, but that salvation was a gracious gift from God, but they did not want to hear that. And so we read in verse 66, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." It is instructive that Jesus did not try to make his message more palatable. Jesus did not dumb down his message to please people. Jesus was not in a popularity contest. Some pastors, if they saw that people were leaving their church because they don't like the preaching of the faithful gospel message, would choose instead to dilute the gospel, add to the gospel, take away from the gospel. Such pastors are men pleasers rather than God pleasers. I am issuing this advice to those who preach. Don't try to fix up God's word to make it sound popular. Just proclaim God's word and leave the consequences up to God. So Jesus, seeing the droves of people, the whole heap of people who were leaving, who did not want to listen to anything more he had to say, turned to his inner circle, the 12, and asked, "Do you also want to go away?" The Apostle Peter, who is the usual spokesman for the 12 disciples, said what has come to be described as the great confession. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was saying, "Life don't make any sense without you, Lord. You are the giver of eternal life. You are the source of eternal life. You are life itself." Jesus had said of himself in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No doubt Peter had heard Jesus say that of himself many times. Peter was convinced that Jesus was who he said he was. Peter did not need to be convinced that everything Jesus said of himself was indeed true. Peter did not need to be convinced that what Jesus said of himself was trustworthy. Peter asks, and I think rhetorically, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" I want to suggest 3 things about Peter's confession. 1, Peter recognized Jesus to be the divine Lord. 2, Peter recognized Jesus as the unique Savior. 3, Peter recognized Jesus as the true giver of life. Firstly, Peter recognized Jesus to be the divine Lord. Jesus had said in John 6, 57 to 58, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Peter recognized that the same Lord who gave Moses manna in the book of Exodus had come to earth in the form of a man in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? If you, my friend, have Jesus, why would you want to go anywhere else? If you have Jesus, why would you want to look anywhere else?" Peter recognized that this Jesus, being God, could supply our deepest spiritual need. Peter recognized that this Jesus, being God, could supply all our needs. Point number two, Peter recognized Jesus as the unique Savior. In Matthew's account of Peter's great confession, Jesus had taken them to Caesarea Philippi, a region known for pagan worship. There were many religious options in Peter's day, as indeed our day. So in the context of people running after many false gods, Jesus asked the 12, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus was asking, "Am I like those idols in the marketplace? Am I like human superstars in the world? Am I like your sports heroes, your political heroes? Am I just like other people, or is there anything different about me?" Peter recognized that there is no other Savior, no other person who is without sin and was qualified to die for sinners like you and me. Peter was saying there is no Savior like Jesus. Peter was saying, "Jesus, you are the unique Savior." Peter was saying, "I'm not going nowhere except to you, for you alone are the Savior of the world." Will you stick to Jesus, or will you go elsewhere? Peter was saying, "I am sticking with Jesus. Lord, to whom shall we go?" And here's the third point. Peter recognized Jesus as the true giver of life. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You get eternal life when you surrender to Christ as your Savior and Lord. Eternal life begins with a surrender to Christ and all that Christ stands for. Eternal life begins when an individual acknowledges that he or she is a sinner. An individual acknowledges that he or she is under the wrath of a holy God because of sin. An individual recognizes that he or she cannot save himself or herself from the wrath of God towards sinners. An individual recognizes that Jesus has paid the price for his or her sins by his own atoning death and resurrection. The individual then surrenders his or her life to Jesus and receives forgiveness of sins. Peter was saying, in effect, "I recognize you, Jesus, to be the only giver of eternal life. I recognize you to be the only hope for this world. I recognize that without you in my life, I am heading to hell and eternal punishment. I recognize there is forgiveness of sins with you." You see, friends, Peter had come to the point in his life that he recognized that life lived to the fullest is life fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. Peter was also saying, in effect, life lived to the fullest is life in which we follow Jesus. Peter was saying, in effect, that life lived to the fullest is life in which we seek to do things God's way as against our way. Peter was saying, in effect, that life lived to the fullest is life lived to please God and not please ourselves. What is eternal life? Eternal life is duration of life, yes. But equally important, eternal life is also quality of life. Eternal life is related to how you live now in this evil world. Eternal life is the grace God supplies for Christians to live in this world in a way that is honoring to Christ. Eternal life is the grace God supplies for Christians to live in adverse circumstances, yet having joy in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christians will know eternal life in its fullness when we get to heaven. In heaven, we shall be changed to resemble our Savior in his moral perfection. Eternal life begins here on earth for the Christian, but eternal life is consummated in heaven. Eternal life means that death is not the end of the Christian story. Death is the end of physical existence, but there is an existence beyond the grave. That is why John 3, verse 16 is so meaningful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. The door is open today for you to experience eternal life. This life is to be found only in Jesus Christ. Surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ today. Repent of your sins, believe the gospel message, and you will have eternal life. Until next week, may Christ bless you greatly.